Hello, everyone, and welcome to our live feed update for March 9th. And this is, I believe that is the date today.
We're
talking Big Brother Canada 6, and it's our first live feed update of the season. We are trying something a little bit new, trying to stream to multiple places. We've got different viewpoints in the cameras, in the layout. We'll be improving as the season goes on. But we are here to talk about everything going on the live feeds. And I'm very excited, Booyah, to have you with me for our first update.
I'm really excited to talk about this, man. We learned a lot of things with the little bit we got last night. Someone used the term shady boots, which I know you like. So I feel like there's a lot to unpack here, and I'm very excited to be here to start it off.
All right. Well, we are, I believe, live on YouTube, on Rob Has a Website, and on Facebook. So wherever you, on the Rob Has a Podcast Facebook page. So wherever you want to watch and listen and comment, you're free to do wherever you want to go. But we do have the chat room open on robsawebsite.com, and you can also leave a comment on the Facebook page, and we will try to interact with you as we go along here. So we got our first night of feeds, and honestly, I feel like, well, we didn't learn a whole lot. We learned a lot about this big conglomerate mob figure, and we learned a lot about the sort of people who feel a little bit on the outs. But when the feeds came back up, we learned that Ryan is the new HOH. How do you feel about this, Booyah?
I did not think he was going to win an HOH. I remember watching his preseason package and thinking, this kid wants to be diabolical. He needs to win something to do that. And here we are. He did. You know, Canadian Brian Posehn killed it. So the competition, what we know is they apparently filled out some kind of survey earlier on in the season, just with like questions about each other, first impression questions about each other. And that was used to make a Q&A comp this time around, where you had to get answer right, then eliminate people. So Ryan ended up standing tall at the end there.
Yes. These competitions are always fun, I think, especially early on. The idea of asking questions, you know, people were a little mad at one point, like, oh, you know, you said I was dumb. Why, you thought I was dumb? So there were some good questions in here. But Ryan ends up winning, and right away, I think I had assumed, and I think probably a lot of people had assumed, that Ryan and Andrew and Hamza were probably some kind of thing, because Andrew mentioned, like, oh, that's my boy. When he saved him, when he put him in heaven, and they're, you know, of similar age ranges. So you figure they'll probably, you know, have more things in common. And they talked, and Ryan talked about that, that he does have a lot of stuff in common with Andrew. However, Ryan thinks that he has no choice here. His hands are tied. He thinks that he needs to go after Andrew. He needs to put Andrew on the block. Otherwise, he'll be targeted the following week. And because of that, he tells Andrew, look, I'm sorry, I can't promise you that I'm not going to put you up on the block, but I would never backdoor you. He wants to make it very clear that he is doing the honorable thing and just putting his friend straight up on the block and nothing else.
I mean, he's nothing if not a nice friend. I think Ryan has the correct read in the sense that it sounds like, from what we heard throughout the night, they definitely want Andrew's head on a platter. Andrew has to be nominated no matter what. If he doesn't do it, he's going against them. Yes, that'll be a problem. However, then, you know, I want to dock him a little bit, because, you know, you're coming in trying to be some kind of supervillain, and now you're just Canadian Adam Pock by, you know, just folding. But I can't fault him too much, because honestly, that is what's going on. Like, even if they weren't together, these three are looked at as an item, as an alliance. So if he wants to, you know, overcast that, he has to do this. He has to put Andrew on the block. And it looks like that's what he's going to do.
Yes, but Hamza is not happy about this. Hamza is trying to argue with this logic. He's saying, what do you do? Why would you put Andrew on the block? We need Andrew. Andrew is good. You're a target regardless. You can't just do what they want you to do. Hamza is very, very much like, he even talked about it. He is like the anti-Big Brother 19. He is like, no, we cannot just let a huge group of people steamroll the entire season. This is how it starts. Guys, what are you doing? But nobody is listening to him.
No, no. And I think it's telling that we found out last night that Hamza's player that he's trying to emulate is Cody, because Cody didn't give an F. He doesn't give an F. He thinks that the whole Kumbaya nonsense should go away, which I feel like we will kind of be singing that song, too, if we're going down this unanimous path, which we never really want. But no, Hamza really tried his best to make Ryan see that he shouldn't be doing this. But then in the event that Ryan is doing this, then Hamza turned around and said, well, put me up. I want to be on the block. I need to be on the block. And that's the direction Hamza's now trying to go.
Yes. So Hamza, he really does. He wants to be on the block. And I don't really understand this logic from Hamza. He's talking about like, I'm more likely to win veto, so I should go on the block instead of Andrew or something along those lines. But if you're more likely to win the veto, then keep yourself off the block and you can use the veto on Andrew. You don't need to be on the Hamza is like, on one hand, I think one of the people that are that is like actively working against a big, you know, conglomerate majority, which is always nice to see in the House. But he's doing so in a kind of a strange way. And we're gonna see that. He talks to Erica about this. And he's talking to her about this idea that, like, look, we need Andrew. We cannot have Andrew leave. There's this huge group. They are never going to be with us. And Erica says, look, if we don't need Andrew, if we do need Andrew, we need to move to the side that doesn't need Andrew. And Hamza's like, that's not possible. They're already friends. Like, they don't vibe with us. But Erica isn't really seeing that side of things. This is not a done deal by any means. We saw one night, but in this conversation, Erica was not really buying what he was selling, but she was very upset, and she was very upset for the whole night. One of the reasons she was upset was because she was the one that knocked Andrew out of the HOH competition. Another reason was just in general, she had this idea that, like, man, this is a rough game. I don't like having to go against people that I like in this game. And she was crying, and a lot of people were like, hey, look, it's Vanessa. I feel like we've gotten a few Vanessas at the start of the season ever since the first Vanessa.
Yeah, Vanessa-ing one of the feeds is becoming a more commonplace thing. And to kind of go back to what you were just talking about, yes, so Erica knocks out Andrew, and then Andrew sits down with her and just pulls at those heartstrings, just hits her left, right with the, but I thought I could trust you. I mean, I'm just surprised because a friend would never do this to me. I shared stories about my family with you. I just didn't expect you to do this. And it initially starts with Erica's just overwhelmed and feeling so bad and apologizing. Then she goes away. She gets comforted. They kind of go separate ways. But then it kind of gets weird. Because then I'm watching Erica in different rooms, and then slowly but surely, Andrew shows up, sits right behind her, and just, like, stares at her without blinking. And then she'll be having a conversation with Olivia. There was a conversation where Olivia's in the middle, and these two are on either side of the couches talking, and then Andrew just brings it back to, oh no, I'm just shocked that a friend would turn around and do this to me. And then they have a big debate about whether, you know, what Andrew's doing. Andrew's saying it was strategic, but then when Erica's doing it, it's personal, and they try to hash it out a little bit. So I think the whole coming back full circle with the Hamza conversation and Erica saying that we can't work with Andrew, we need to go to the other side, I think a lot of it had to do with that. Again, it is night one. This is a new day. It's a whole day. We haven't even gotten to talk about the gatecrashers and their perception in the House right now and how they've been doing. But there's so many chess pieces this early on in the game that anything can happen on a dime. Fast forward it a little bit to give you a preview of later in the night. Ryan has talked about a potential someone else he's looking at. So there's a lot to be played here. As of right now, Andrew's just rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and Erica's trying to pull Hamza in, but Hamza's not letting that happen because Hamza owns a wolf. Hamza still says, listen, I will protect you and Johnny. You guys are, I gave you my word, but I'm a lone wolf. I'm going to do me. It's like, okay, Hamza, like, you got to figure out yourself. Hamza's like trying to figure himself out too in the midst of all this, I feel like.
Yeah, you know, when we watched Hamza preseason and he talked about wanting to be a lone wolf in the house and how he doesn't need alliances, that was obviously a red flag for me, but I'd never really believed that he'd follow through with it in the house. It's the sort of thing where even if he genuinely meant it in the moment, which I wasn't sure he did, I figured once you get into the house, you realize that is not a game that can be played, and you very quickly form into groups and cliques. But Hamza seems to be following through in many ways. He doesn't really care. And he's willing to just be like, nah, whatever. I'm not working with anyone.
No, and he has cited to Erica that, you know, this is what happened with last season's U.S. version, PB19. They just went with the house. This isn't summer camp. This isn't Kumbaya. Those six people, they're having it easy. We can't go with them. Like, he wants to make things happen, but he also doesn't want to be tied down. It's a very weird bubble he's creating for himself. And I kind of see, like, watching him comfort Erica, I was getting shades of Adele from season two with Aika. And then it's kind of like him wanting to be on his own and also kind of like blowing his load a little early is kind of giving me the Godfrey vibes, where Godfrey comes in night one, makes final twos with everybody, but then now no one wants to work with him. So now he's alone. I guess with Godfrey, he didn't really have a choice at that moment, where Hamza does, and Hamza's just not willing to move forward. So it'll be interesting to see the evolution of Hamza. The worry here now for me is Hamza, I don't know how much he realizes that if Andrew doesn't go, it's him. And he should probably not be trying to sit next to Hamza next to Andrew on the block, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see what he does and if he gets himself into a predicament.
Yes. Nina on Facebook asks, so are they divided into hell and heaven now? No, not anymore. There is no division anymore. There will be have-nots, I assume, but I don't think they've been picked yet. And I don't think they're, maybe they'll call the have-nots. As maybe they'll say the have-nots are in hell, but you know, it's not like it was in the opening episode where half of them are safe and half of them are vulnerable. Luckily, we are free from that, and the whole house will have a chance to play the game.
Yes.
So, moving forward, we have Ryan also talking to Johnny. They have some kind of relationship. Another thing that Erica had told Hamza was that. That Andrew was the one that told Johnny that Hamza was after Johnny. So obviously we have no idea what this is about, but we can infer that there was some sort of controversy surrounding Johnny thinking that Hamza might be after him. And according to Erica, Andrew is the one that stirred that pot. Given all that we know about Andrew and how people view him, I wouldn't be surprised if this is true. And so Ryan has a conversation with Johnny and tells him, look, you're safe this week. You don't need to worry. We're totally cool. Hamza had also talked to Johnny and been like, dude, I don't know who told you that I was going after you, but we're good. Everything's cool. So people seem to be okay with Johnny, although they don't consider him to be in the big group consensus thing. It seems to like Erica and Johnny and then Hamza and Ryan and Andrew all seem to talk like they're on the outs, like they could be in danger. Right now, they're all kind of, except for Hamza, booking on the fact that we hope that the new players are going to be targeted before us. So it's going to be Andrew and then the new players and then probably Hamza. And they're like, oh, we've got a lot of weeks ahead of us before we get targeted, which tends to be flawed logic.
Yeah, no, I loved Ali saying we're pretty much set to week six. I was like, ooh, yeah. If you think that's just set in stone like this, I have another thing coming for you. Yeah, it seems like those people you mentioned are on the outs. They haven't quite realized that they can band together and like form an opposition. I think right now, still everyone has been convinced that getting Andrew out is what we all want and need. And like stuff with Erica, like these, there's a couple cracks there that are already hard to bring together. And you need like the right person with the right tone, with the right conviction to bring all these people together. And while Hamza kind of tried being that person, I don't think that's Hamza's thing. I think they kind of just need like those main people, like Andrew needs to calm down. He needs to have some conversations. Erica needs to kind of come out of the sulking, realize what's going on. But right now, it looks like there is a solid one side of the house, but the other side is just all these individuals and like duos kind of like figuring each other out.
Yes. And Ryan even says to the cameras, I really needed this HOH. I really needed this. I didn't even realize how much I needed it until now. They didn't want to talk to me. Now they have to talk to me. But I'm going to have to take out Andrew. I'm sorry, Andrew. And when I saw this, I was like, man, this really is like, you're saying that you just realized how badly you needed this, which means the current status quo is not in your favor, but you think your best move, without even really considering any other option, is to continue the status quo and let everybody just, you know, continue what they wanted to do before. I understand and I appreciate the idea that you want to make inroads with people. But if you just lie down in front of them, that's not always the best way to do it. And, you know, me personally, I think the best way to ingratiate yourself in a house that isn't naturally inclined to bond with you is to exercise a little bit of power, negotiate a little bit. If you just immediately lie down, then, you know, you are the kid that got made fun of that just like pretended you were okay with it and never got anywhere else. You know what I mean? It's you need to fight back just a little. You need to get them to respect you a little bit. Otherwise, you'll just continue to be pushed around. What do you think about that, Puya?
I agree. I think Ryan needs to find that sweet spot from like, you know, Pop and Paul having his Godfather moments in the HOH and like someone who just does not care about HOH. Find the middle and just kind of exercise that in forms of conversation. Try and get as much information as you can, kind of suss out who's where, who's situated where, and then figure out the people that didn't talk to you. You don't owe them anything. Technically speaking, if they've discounted you, you can use that as justification to put them up. That is fine. Yes, the house may be pissed off, but you can explain, like, there is always ways out of going into group consensus like this, especially it's week two. Like, there's not much to go off of. You can argue that, listen, Andrew kept me safe last week. He gave me immunity. He put me in heaven. I can't do that to him. I just can't. I know what you guys are saying. I feel bad. I'm sorry. And people have emotions. People are very emotional. And especially this crop of people, just based on the little bit we saw last night, I feel like a lot of people are kind of playing heart first in ways. So it's not impossible. It is not impossible to do that and get out of it unscathed, especially when you see two new variables enter the house who people are already looking at 5-6 hours in. And still they would want Andrew out. They would still be looking at Hamza in some ways. Like, you should realize that you're probably like third or fourth target. So you still have a great shot of continuing, especially someone like Ryan, who seemingly so far seems like he's sweet enough. People are appreciating him. You know, he shared his HOH booze last night with everybody. That was really nice. He gave his bet to Veronica, which we'll get to later. But Andrew seems like a nice guy, and I think he's capable of pulling that nice guy card to further himself and, you know, use this HOH for himself. But I don't think he's realizing it. I think he thinks that his hand are tied behind his back and he has no call here.
Yeah, I always think about Vanessa when I think about a big group in the house, because I feel like Vanessa broke that group up with such dramatic elegance. Mm-hmm. I think what Ryan has to do is, in this moment, he can't be seen as the destroyer of alliances. He can't be seen as the person that stands up to the majority, because that's mm-hmm. not a good look. However, if he can talk to people, and this might be what he's doing, although I don't know if it was intentional, because even now I'm seeing that he's talking to Jesse as we speak, and and Jesse's kind of floating out, maybe Andrew isn't a big target. So who knows how this is going to go. We'll be back tomorrow morning to update you on everything there. However, I think Ryan's move here is to allow himself to be used as not as a tool for the faceless majority, but as a play against another half of a majority. So if Jesse wants to take a shot at Maddie or something along those lines, I don't know if that's happening. I can't keep up with it, what it's going on right now. But if that was, for example, what he wanted to do, then that would be the perfect move for Ryan, because he can make that move, which will weaken the group of people that is not bonded with him, while bonding himself with the people he made the move for and creating a target on their back, because they're the ones that are really behind it. And they're the ones that people will feel betrayed when it comes down on them. So I hope that Ryan can sort of do that. I think that's what I would like to see from him, but we'll just have to see. He may be just stubbornly, I have to do Andrew. I've already told him that I'm going to do it. So you never know.
Yeah, no, here's the hoping that he kind of figures out that he can cause a little chaos without being in front of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That is the way to do it. And then there's also, again, like, there is merit to the idea of just doing what the house wants if you can make the absolute most of it. So I'm not going to completely say that this is the wrong move if he does go after Andrew either. There is a way that he can play this where he does make a lot of gain socially because of it. That said, I just, from what I've seen so far over the course of the night, I'm not sure. I'm not sure he bonds well enough with them. People seem to like Ryan. They think that he's smart, but I don't know if they'll ever truly accept him into their group. And I'll need to see what happens over the course of the week if that is truly his gameplay or his game plan. So let's talk a little bit about the Gatecrashers. They came into the house, and I really just genuinely didn't believe that they would follow through with this wackadoo plan to say that they were pulled from the audience.
Yeah,
but they did. They said that they were pulled from the audience. There was even a DR leak, I believe. I didn't quite catch everything that Veronica was saying, but I read that one of the things she said was, "Oh, the more details that we leave vague and unknown, the more they believe us." And let's be clear. Nobody in that house believes a word that they said about being in the audience and being pulled from the audience there.
No.
Every conceivable reason that you would have guessed that people would have questioned this has been questioned. And then on top of that, like 50 more, because this is a paranoid house. Pooya, what do you think of all that?
It's ridiculous, because first and foremost, if I'm going to a live eviction show, let's be real, I'm not dressing up. Like, I'm not there to look good. I'm not, putting on a dress, which obviously I'm not putting on, like, nice pants, white shirt. I'm probably going to go in like a sweater and just wear a hat and do what I'm wearing right now kind of thing. So already that's a red flag. They came in with bags, so obviously that's a thing. They've already picked up that, okay, their bags are about the same weight as our bags. Marin's kind of used this thing of like, yeah, well, I was on a trip and like, I guess they sent me the bag, like my stuff from my office, because I only have enough for like 3 days, not 10 weeks. And then Marin has said some things to Ryan, where Ryan feels like he heard Marin say, well, you're going to get to see Carter now, which is his son's name. It's like, well, how would he know my son's name? So that's come into play. When Marin and Veronica were walking away with their bags, Marin was helping. He's like, whoa, how much stuff did you bring? And Veronica kind of like slyly smiles at him. It's like, come on, guys, like, keep it going for like a day or two. So that's already been horrible. And then from that aside, like, their story's already crumbling. Ryan has woken up today and says he wants to call them out publicly and call their BS on their story today, which, tune in, because that's going to be crazy if that happens. And then now let's talk about individually. So Marin kind of you know, doing the right thing. I feel like kind of came in, talked a little too much initially, like kind of sounding out that he might know a little more than what's going on or making it seem that way, which was bad. But he's been kind of laying low. I feel like people see him as a threat amongst the two as more of a threat. And that's because Veronica has been slowly slicing her social capital all night in different ways. So as I mentioned earlier, nice guy Ryan gives his bed to Veronica since he's going to be in the HOH. And, you know, thank you, whatever. And then in a group setting, Veronica sounds off and says, when he said I can have his bed, I was like, thanks, smelly man. His bed smells like a toilet. And this did not rub Paris the right way. This did not rub quite a few people the right way. They went out. Apparently, when the feeds were down, somewhere in between the eviction and when we got them, Veronica has mentioned something to the extent of, I used to be a bitch and a bully. And now I'm a flower child, which, again, something that the girls did not like. Paris specifically. Paris does not like her already and is just really making this a thing and, like, amping it up. Like, I don't like her. Like, she's awful. To give Veronica some kind of a credit, she's been doing decently with some house guests. Some house guests are actually, like, vibing with her, like relatively well. But the target's becoming bigger, and the fact that their story did not stick, it was really funny getting that DR leak last night before they took their shots, where Veronica's very confident in her story. It's like, everything's working out. The more unknowns that are there, the more questions that aren't coming up, we're doing fine. It's like, you are not doing fine. I think coming in from the audience was a bad idea. Although I will give her something else I want to give her credit for. She was walking away. She was like, another day in the BBC. I was like, well, no one calls it that, but it's good that you're calling it that, because they would not expect that you know this game, which you don't. But it's a good thing for you in that sense. So, you know, good for her.
It was a little weird hearing her say another day in the BBC house when that was her first day in the BBC house.
Yeah.
According to her. yes, Paris in particular, very, very much anti-Veronica. Something I think that is kind of helping me understand Paris as a person, as a character, is that she talked in her intro package about how, like, she thought that she used to not be very pretty, but now obviously she's extremely pretty. And she talked about how Veronica reminds her a lot of, like, the bullies that would pick on her when she was a kid. It'll be interesting to see Paris's progression. Obviously there were a lot of Netta comparisons, but I think the Netta comparisons have to end at the looks, because they seem to be completely different people and playing completely different games. But very interesting. Marin, on the other hand, seems to have blended in a bit better than Veronica. I think we could have predicted that. He seems just like a chill guy. We didn't see a whole lot from him. He had a funny interaction with Erica where he walked in on Erica crying with Hamza at one point. it was either Hamza or Johnny, I don't remember. She was just like, I'm sorry, it's fine. Like, I just hate that we have to get to know these people and then hurt them. And he was just like, I mean, I have only been here for like 2 hours, but let me give you some wisdom. Interesting stuff there. We did get a question from Danielle on Facebook. Is all this stemming from them wanting to keep Rosina, meaning the Andrew Hamza stuff, why people are targeting Andrew? Yes, basically from what we've heard, and most of that has only come from Andrew and then other people just saying that Andrew is kind of crazy and all over the place. It seems like the main cause of it was that Andrew pushed really hard to try to keep Rosina. I don't know why he would do that. I heard Hamza's reasoning. I understand that Hamza is just kind of an erratic player that wants to control every vote. I don't know why Andrew did it. I'm not sure what his motivations were. I'm not sure the details of what he did and why it was worse than even Hamza. And what we saw from Hamza on the show is pretty extreme. So hopefully we get a little bit more of that, a little bit more history as to why Andrew is being targeted. But it does seem to stem from the Rosina things. So moving forward, Erica talks to Johnny about Hamza. She is worried about working with him. She feels like she can't really it's hard to work with this guy when he's telling her, look, I'm a lone wolf. I'm not going to be a part of any alliances. I don't really care much. And she's very concerned about that, Puya.
Yeah, it's like, I can't work with what you're giving me, right? It's like, you're saying you have my back, which is nice if you care. And by saying you don't want to be in alliances means you don't care, means you're not really trying. So none of that stuff is, you know, ringing true with Erica. She wants a shoulder. She wants someone to lean on. And Hamza's like willing to lean on, but emotionally not game-wise by this. Like, no, I don't think that's what he intends. I think that's the way it's coming off. So she's talking about the stuff with Johnny. She knows that Hamza wants to keep Andrew. And as of right now, Erica does not want that. So that's another red flag for her. Hamza kind of wants to stay on this side. Erica wants to mesh in with the majority. Erica wants to keep herself safe for the upcoming weeks. And she thinks, or the way it sounds like she's thinking, is that by going with Hamza, she's not getting much in return because he's this lone wolf. So when you're not going to gain much back, it's tough. And I feel like this is, Hamza's going to be another weak point for Erica, because I think now she feels close to him. So now she's going to have the similar thing with Andrew, where she, more so than Andrew, I think, does not want to go behind Hamza, does not want to like betray Hamza in any way. But she knows that long term, he's probably no good for me. At least that's what she's thinking right now.
Yes. And, you know, like I said, Erica seems to be a little bit on the emotional side from what we saw of her over the course of the night. You know, I think some of us were hoping to have a little bit of a different reaction. But again, this is how Vanessa started her game. So who knows how this will progress. She doesn't seem to be a target of anyone's in particular. So I think she's probably pretty set for now. But we'll have to see as that goes on. There were two other big conversations that took place late at night. One was Jesse talking to Andrew. Jesse basically, you know, I forgot Jesse was a person when I watched the show. I even saw him on the feeds and I was just like, this guy is just so forgettable. He's just so basic. However, that seems to kind of be working in his favor, I think. This is a little bit of a Locke Lamora situation where it's just like, you see him, you forget him, but he's able to kind of get you. Jesse, I was pretty impressed by. He was able to talk to Andrew and they seem to have some kind of bond, and Jesse was very much fronting this idea that, man, I'm not in power, I don't know what's going on, I you know, Ryan's a butt of yours, right? Like, you should be fine. He was like, no, Ryan's coming after me. Oh man, really? Like, that sucks. Like, he's just gonna do what the mob says. And Andrew's like, yeah, Ryan, I don't think he's gonna go against the mob. And Andrew asked Jesse, you know, do you know who's in charge? Like what's going on? And Jesse was like, it's got to be a girl, man, because if it was a guy, then we would have flipped that vote with Roz. So Jesse seems to be playing with Andrew, knowing that he's in this Real Deal alliance that we didn't really see much of on the feeds. I have to imagine that he is in power to some extent, but he is fronting that he is not pretty well, and he seems to be forming a pretty good bond and having good enough social bonds with people like Andrew, people on the outs. And like I said, that he was having a conversation with Ryan as we were speaking, that we'll be able to update you on tomorrow. So pretty decently impressed with Jesse so far.
Yeah, I think he's following up really well with how to play the start of a game. It's kind of be quiet, hang around, and then when an opportunity comes to talk with someone, just talk to them. I don't know if you realize this, but Andrew's someone who desperately needed someone to sound off to. And since no one is listening to him right now, or no one wants to, and like the one person, like, he has this couple people that he knows he can talk to, but it's always nice to get a new pair of ears who are willing to listen to you and who are willing to understand where you are. And I think Jesse was the perfect pick for that. And I think both him and Derek, I really did get that bland, like, y'all are gonna vanish vibe early on in the season, like from preseason, but they both also came out with that kind of mentality of in their preseason stuff that they are the type to listen to both sides and agree with both sides and like kind of stay in the middle. And I think that is Jesse's game to a T right now, where he is going to ride the middle. I mean, obviously he has his real deal alliance and that's what he's going to be true to. That's not going to stop him from talking to other people and like making nice when he needs to make nice, it seems like, especially because he hasn't gotten any power right now. He can play that card and he can go along. There's no friction. There's no one looking at him. So he's fine to be like this. And I think he's doing a phenomenal job in that role right now. And I think he did really well kind of just agreeing with Andrew and then kind of pinning it on the girls. I don't know if that was his way of like, maybe this will go back up the ladder to Ryan in case Ryan ends up not wanting to put up Andrew, then something will happen there. But I mean, now we already are seeing them talk real time right now. And for someone who I thought was just going to give us nothing, the fact that he's giving us something, I'm happy about. So we are not losing with Jesse.
Yes, it's always a fine line trying to have relationships with people that are on the outs. It can put a target on your back. It can look sketchy to people. But if you're able to do it properly, it can be very, very effective. So something to look out for Jesse, if that is a trend for him. Then the other conversation that happened was Ryan talking to Maddie. And I kind of alluded to this conversation earlier, I believe. Maddie talked about how she was just kind of floating around in the game right now. It doesn't have any like super solid relationships, just kind of like waiting to see who strikes her fancy, who she can team up with, which is generally, I think, the right thing to say this early on, especially to somebody who's probably looking for allies. She talked about how she was convinced that they must have been voting these gatecrashers. There must have been a vote between like four or five people. I heard clapping. I heard cheering. There was some kind of vote that happened, I'm sure. So smart of Maddie. She is one of the bigger super fans in the house. She's worried not about Veronica, because Veronica is making waves. She's more worried about Marin because he's not making waves, which I think is very smart. Overall, just like this was a pretty good conversation. If I'm going to critique Maddie for it, if anything, it's that she's coming off as very smart, and maybe that's not the best look for her. It's probably a good look for her with Ryan, because Ryan, I'm sure, wants to work with somebody who he feels is on his high IQ level. But I hope that this is not how she's talking with everyone in the house, Puya.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard her, I don't remember specifically what she was talking about, but I heard her twice last night bring up like Big Brother past trivia kind of thing, explaining to a couple people some mechanics from other seasons. And I was like, keep this to yourself. Like, especially week two, don't start this. Don't start making them understand that you know what's going on. I think it was really smart the way she brought that up with to Ryan. And I really loved how she was able to listen to him, have this conversation, but then also pull out a name from Ryan that was not Hamza and was not Andrew. I thought she did that, and I thought she did that really well. So if you want to talk about who Ryan's target is, if one of those two are not going to be on the block, we know who it is now.
Yes, all of Ryan's supposed allies, maybe people that he has good relationships with, were basically trying to be like, why are you doing Andrew? Like, can we not do Andrew? Meanwhile, Maddie has one conversation with him and very subtly leads him toward another person. And that person was Olivia. And Olivia is a name that we haven't talked about yet. Because I didn't really see much of her on the feeds. I'm not sure, honestly, why she is the target. She is aligned closely with the sort of Ali, Derek, Kayla kind of grouping. It's very difficult because we know about this Real Deal alliance, but then when people are talking about the core power in the house, they're talking about Derek and Kayla, but then not necessarily the other people. They're talking about Matt or talking about Ali, and they're talking about Olivia, and so it's hard to know who the real kind of group is. But Olivia seems to be the one that Maddie is focused on and that Ryan immediately picked up on as, yeah, Olivia, that's one that I might think about. What did you think of that, Puya?
I think it kind of made sense, especially after Ryan explained. So Ryan's justification for Olivia is that Olivia doesn't really talk to him. Olivia has walked out of rooms that he's been in. Olivia's essentially not really made a attempt to talk to Ryan. And I think it does come from like their different walks of life. She's 21 or 22. Speculation still over there. But then he's like an older guy. You know, he's not in the cool kids club. Olivia's kind of fancies herself to be in the cool kids club. So, and Olivia doesn't have the game savvy that we know someone like Maddie has. Who knows? I can talk. I should talk to everyone. I can talk to anybody to do anything. What little impressions are still impressions that will keep me off the block. Olivia's not made that attempt, clearly. I think she's just been hanging out with a specific group of people, and that's to her detriment, because I think that's rubbed Ryan the wrong way. And I think if Ryan has his druthers, he will have her on the block. And now, if Ryan was smart, if he still plans on, because like right now he's saying so many things already. It sounds like he's getting HOH-itis, which I'm sure you and Leon will cover tomorrow. But if Ryan's smart, he will not put both Hamza and Andrew up, because if they're both up, one of them's going. There's no way that one of them stay, like both stay, in my opinion, at least. So hopefully he's smart to realize that if he wants Olivia as an option there and she ends up going up. But yeah, no, it honestly boils down to social game. I think Olivia did not exercise any social game with Ryan, and she might pay the bill for that.
Yes, and I can say that from what I've been able to discern as we have been talking, Ryan had an early morning conversation with Jesse. Now he's talking with Ryan. And to Jesse, he said that he thinks the plan is probably to put up both Andrew and Hamza with the potential to backdoor someone. And Jesse seemed open to that. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure who they talked about. It may have been Olivia, but I didn't see her name in the conversations of what I was reading. Again, we'll have a more detailed update tomorrow for you when it comes to that. There are a couple more things that... I'm reading.
It's a lot going down right now.
Derek just name dropped Maddie to Ryan. That's why. So could be a good update tomorrow. We'll have a lot more information. So a couple more things that I wanted to bring up. Some of the people were in the chat were asking about a potential showmance. I believe this is Derek and Kayla. I believe that they seem to be the ones that are potentially together. I didn't even hear like a super like confirming kind of thing, but just based on the way people were talking about them and the way that they interacted with each other, it seems like this is probably a thing.
Yeah, no, that they just Derek just told Ryan that he's in a showmance with her. It's confirmed now.
Okay,
as of like 2 seconds ago. So then there's other people obviously in there that are single and ready to mingle, as our beloved Jeff would say. From what I gather, now no one has confirmed any of this. This is just purely Puya speculation. It looks like Jesse is kind of crushing on Paris a little bit. I can definitely see that. They seem like they're vibing well. There's definitely chemistry there. I don't know if Paris wants that in any way, but it exists. At least that's what I'm seeing. Also, I think Will and Maddie kind of look like they're vibing too. We haven't talked about Will at all. And it's amazing. He's really big and tall. It's not like we missed him. He just didn't have much to say, which I was intrigued because I kind of wanted to test my abilities to understand what he's saying without subtitles. I was very excited for that, but we didn't get the opportunity yet. Hopefully more to come from Will. But these are other two people that I could see, other two couplings that I could see like potentially going somewhere, or there's at the very least attraction there. It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Yes. Interesting stuff. The Will Maddie pairing, it seems to me very much like what Maddie was talking about with I need a showmance, but I'm not going to be emotionally involved. It seems like that was kind of the vibe I got. Like there was a little bit of a flirtation there, but nothing concrete. Kind of like real connection, at least so far.
Yeah.
And I think there are a couple people in there crushing on Paris, and who can blame them? Yeah. Paris was actually one of the interesting things, and somebody, Nick in the chat, the Facebook chat, said that, Paris, wanted to know about Paris being labeled as the dumb person in the house in the competition, which is something that happened. Paris was labeled, I believe, as the dumbest person in the house. Like, who is the dumbest person in the house? What is the consensus answer? The consensus answer was Paris, which again, interesting given the Netta comparisons.
Yeah.
But that seems to be her label. She seems to be seen as, I don't know, how they meant dumb. Derek was talking about, like, oh, I didn't mean dumb like stupid. I meant dumb like silly. You know, that was my interpretation of the word. So regardless, I think this is very good for Paris. Talking about her chances going in, I think that I was concerned that she would have the Netta label on her because of the similar looks. But it seems that has not stained her at all. She seems to have given off the vibe that she is kind of dumb. So yeah. If she's not, which I'm not sure is true, then this is very good for her, Pooja.
Yeah, I love that in her intro package, we saw her talk about wanting to sound ditzy and like kind of impersonating that to show us that she can play the role. And I remember thinking, this isn't going to work for the exact same reason, like the Netta comparison, the damn Netta comparison. And I love it as a Persian. She's our fourth Persian Canadian representative in the house. So obviously, you've got your Tala, Netta, Cassandra, her. So if it wasn't Netta and if it was Cassandra, that's still scary. If it was, I think she's doing more Tala from like a perception view, which is amazing. But then I loved also Feet coming on. First thing we see is Paris cheering, celebrating in the room alone, saying that she loves where she is right now. She's in a great position. And then she said verbatim, I'm going to walk out now and be sad. Walks out, starts making a fuss about being called dumb. It's brilliant. I love it. I know that you are probably still regretting that you didn't get to pick her, which honestly, man, like that is going to be your regret of the season for sure. Win or lose, I'm impressed with her. But I think she's proving me wrong, because when she said she was going to play the ditzy role, I thought that's not possible for you. That's not in the cards for you. You are going to get caught out so quick. And she still might. It's still night one of the feed. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. But from what I'm seeing so far, very impressed.
Yes, and Stacked in the chat talks about the chatter about Will and Veronica that we also didn't bring up. Veronica apparently was pretty flirty with Will. There's a lot of flirting going on in this house. Mm-hmm. And the I think it was Paris and Derek. I don't remember who it was, or maybe Maddie. I think Maddie was involved. Where they talked about like, oh, let her flirt with you, like get some information out of her because we need to know how much she knows. And if she does know a lot, if she did have audio that they were able to listen to, if they know any kind of secrets, we want her to tell them to you, Will. And he was like, don't worry about it. we're all good. And don't worry about me, you know, getting involved. Like I'll get the information. It'll be all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a trooper, that one, taking the bullet.
All right. Well, unless you have anything else, Pooja, I think we have to, we could just sit here and recap the Ryan Derek conversation.
We could just make it like a 3-hour stream where we're just talking continuously. That's very possible. The one thing I want to bring up is Veronica, obviously, coming in with that angel persona. A couple of things coming out throughout the night that kind of, you know, she's not that angel that we were advertised with. So it'll be interesting to see where she goes moving on, especially her and Marin. I think Marin, we've mentioned, already doing a decent job. I don't know how far Veronica's going to go, to be honest, Taryn. I thought last night, you know, obviously we're kind of sitting there. Everyone's trying to calm down. We're all upset, still kind of a little bit today. But then you got to start thinking, okay, well, now we got to move forward. Looking at Veronica, what's her equity in this game? Can she go far? She's a casual girl, could make a decent distance. I could almost see Veronica going out pre-jury, like straight up. So I don't know what she's got to do. I don't know if a showmance is in the cards to save her. I don't know if she's just, it's night one jitters and they'll be fine. This whole, like, trying to come up with a secret, they really, like, it's one thing to be told to do the secret thing, and we think, okay, that's a lot of disadvantage going in. It's a whole other thing if you fumble it completely through your own decisions. And they had two brains to work on this. It was two minds is better than one that was not better than one. It was awful. So they got to work out that. I'm just intrigued to see at this point where she ends up falling.
Yeah, it was interesting watching her because, you know, she said the thing that she doesn't want people to know is that she knows nothing about this show. She's only seen two seasons and both of them were in sequester while she was waiting to get in the house. And then when she was talking with, I believe it was Ryan, she was like, yeah, you know, I just hate it when people, you know, they're like one person and then they win HOH and like their head gets big and like then they're like another person. And everyone was like, on Twitter, everyone was like, you mean HOH-itis? That thing? That thing that's a thing that you're not making up right now? So that was a funny thing. She's like, she's really trying to like pretend that she knows the show more, which I don't think is necessary.
Hey, just another day in the BBC. What can I tell you?
Yes. Just remember, guys, Plur.
Power all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that is all we've got for you today. I will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern with Liana Boris to talk about everything that's been happening today, right now, and later on. It's on the feeds, and hopefully we'll get a better lay of the land when it comes to the structure of this house and where everybody stands. So keep on the lookout for that. And of course, you know, stay tuned for Monday night's recap after the episode. And hopefully we'll get some an exit interview for you with Rosina a little bit later today. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at ArmstrongTaren. Make sure you follow Puya at PuyaIsm. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.